And if you would be so kind, open your Bibles to John chapter 1. It is my great privilege this morning to be here behind this pulpit and to be able to be the substitute teacher is what I like to call it. It is just that way. And so, I am thankful to be a part of the staff and to be able to, on occasion, come and be able to preach. And few weeks, I'll get a few more opportunities, and I'll be with you guys this week and next week, and then during Easter, I'll be preaching as well. And so thankful for those opportunities, excited about what God is doing, and just thankful to see God show us some things and grow together in His truth, and that is the hope that I have. I often say that it is a true challenge to stand in a pulpit on a Sunday or in any day and to deliver God's word to a congregation with sporadic backgrounds, with diverse places of growth in your spiritual development and your spiritual walk, even with diverse educational backgrounds. And it is as preachers, teachers, it is a great challenge. But you know, if we go to God's word has the answers. God's word has the guiding guideposts that we need, right? And every one of us, no matter where we are or what part of the journey we're on, we can come to God's word with open hearts, with a sensitive spirit, and what God has to teach us, every one of us can apply it. Doesn't matter whether we're in our 60s or 70s, or whether we're in our teens, whether we're in our 20s, wherever you're at, age-wise, wherever you're at, whether you were saved in the last week, in the last year, in the last decade, or in the last century, it doesn't matter. You can come this morning and we can grow together from God's word and from God's truth, and you can allow God's spirit to do a work in you. And you know, every chance that we have to come to God's house, to come and to gather, I hope we understand that obviously, unlike some religions that would train, that would teach you that God is in that place, we understand that each and one of us that are Christians, God abides in us, His Spirit. And yet what I said earlier, what God's word says, where there are two or three gathered in His name, there He is. That continues to be true. But nonetheless, what the formula is that we're looking for this morning is that we're looking for God's Spirit taking God's word and transforming us and changing us to be more like God's Son. That's the formula. And it happens on a Sunday when we gather here. And hopefully it happens for you every day of the week as you and God spend time together. As you either open His word, as you listen to a preaching, a podcast, as you listen to something, as something of God's truth comes into your life, and you are sensitive to God's Spirit guiding you. And He guides us through many means, but obviously the foundation is His word. And so this morning, my desire is simple. That in the few moments that we have together, and I will be honest and say we will be brief this morning, all right? I look at what we have and I say there's a lot there, but we want to try and be brief. As the substitute teacher, I want to let you out a little bit early, all right? And so that's the idea. But I look at it and I say I want us to be able to walk away from here with some truth, with some truth. Ponder this question, and this is where I came from as I began thinking and studying for this message. What's this all about? Why are you here this morning? If somebody were to stop you in the parking lot as you parked your car, as you parked your truck, you jumped out and you were halfway to the front door, and somebody stopped you and said, "What are you doing here? Why are you here?" Dear friend, I hope that this morning you and I could say, I'm here because of Jesus. I'm here because Jesus was not just a man, though He was a man. He was somebody who cared about me and my condition. He cared about my eternal destiny. He cared about my soul. And He knew that without Him, no matter how good I had it on this life, there would come an end point And from that end point forward, I would be eternally separated from his Father. And he knew that without his willing sacrifice, without his willingness to come and to be placed upon a cross 2,000 years ago and there suffer and die as the only human being to never have to have committed a sin. But if it wasn't for him willingness to accept upon his account there on the cross, every lie I would say, every bad thought, every bad word, every drink I would have, every drug I would take, every time I would fail as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother, if he didn't take all my sins and my failures to the cross, I would be hopeless and lost. And this morning we're here because we declare openly that we are dependent upon that Jesus. We declare openly that we have a relationship with him. And though we love the flowers and the decorations, we love the icing, the cake is Jesus. The core of what we're here and what we're about is the man that is the Son of God, Jesus, and through him, a relationship with the creator of the universe, God the Father. And that's what we're here for. If you know anything about the book of John, John kind of starts from there. From a very big picture, if you're thinking Google Earth, go as far back as possible. The big picture. He begins talking about, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We find there in those first three verses, if you dig in, some mind-blowing concepts. That from the creation of the world, already Jesus existed. The triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit already existed. And God revealed himself to man. And how did he do it? Well, it goes through there how the Word became flesh. How what God used, how Jesus, who through him, the Bible says in another part of the New Testament, all the world was created. And so then he talks about how that word, that verb, says in the King James, became flesh. It became human being for us to be able to know the God of the eternal preexistence. A concept that is mind-blowing to us, but we find in God's truth the reality of it. And we find it that it was brought to us in a package that was born in a manger, of which we celebrated a couple months ago, and of which should absolutely rock our world the moment we come into an encounter with him. Changes everything. If you've watched the series, The Chosen, many times throughout it, it speaks about this changes everything. Who? Jesus. His reality changes everything. His resurrection, of which we will celebrate in a few Sundays, and which we celebrate this Sunday. You know, sometimes some people push back against Easter as being the big celebration, because the reality is every Sunday we celebrate the resurrection. That's what we're doing here on a Sunday morning. We're celebrating that on the first day of the week, Jesus rolled that tomb away, rolled that stone away, and walked out of that tomb alive, just as real as you and I are alive today. He overcame death. He overcame sin. And through him, you and I have new life. Through him, though one day this decaying, dying body, my kids recently have started to make fun of me, my sore back, I have a sore neck right now, and though I try and run and stay in shape, it doesn't matter. You can't outrun your ages. You can't outrun the reality of life. This old body decays away, it dies away, and the reality is that whether it be as good a condition as you want to be in, I was sent an article, my wife and I and my kids, we've been watching this series called Masters of the Air, of these pilots of World War II, and there was one recently, Rick Perry, the old governor of Texas, and he took a picture with him of one of the old pilots inside of a cockpit of the planes that they would fly, and he was 100 years old, man, the guy looked like in great shape, 100 years old. Do you know what? No matter what, in a few years, he will go as well. And the reality is that if it were not for Jesus Christ, if it were not for what he did, if it were not for that person, at that moment, everything would change. But through Jesus, all of reality has changed for us that know him and that believe in him. So I'm coming at this morning from that angle. I'm coming at it from contemplating and thinking, what is this all about? And so many times, and I know the series that we're going on, discipleship, and you know, it's important to know the doctrines of God. It's important to know what do angels do. And it's important to know who are demons and what do they do. And it's important to know what is the Old Testament and what is the New Testament. It's important to know what are the Ten Commandments. And it's important to know how is the church to behave. And should we tithe and should we serve. And what are the requirements of somebody who's going to be a pastor or somebody's going to be a preacher. And what are the gifts of the Spirit and how do they function. It's important all of those things, they have their place, but may we not forget the core of what this is all about, a relationship with Jesus Christ, a relationship with God the Father through his Son, Jesus Christ. And so in John chapter 1, if you will, I want to go real quick and read two verses, and then we'll pray, ask for God's help. I'm going to share a few things with you, and then that's it. We're done, okay? We'll be out of here. John chapter 1 and verse number 40. You're with me still? Say amen. All right, I'm the old school pastor. I like the amens. I like that you're with me, you're encountering with me. I don't want you to go. I used to be able to say go into screensaver mode, but now this generation, there's no screensaver, so they don't know what that is. But for us old folks, when you would leave a computer without the mouse moving too much, either the little bubbles would start popping up, or if not, the aquarium would pop up. There was an aquarium on the screen with the little fishies that would swim in front. And I would tell the kids back when I was a youth leader, I would say, don't let your eyes go into screensaver mode on me. And you're open, but there's nobody home. I can see. And so I just see the screensaver going. I see the bubbles. And I don't like that. I don't want that. Okay, so stay with me. We're here. John chapter 1, verse 14 and 15 says this. And I have in my Bible in the New Living Translation, but I'm actually going to read it out of my phone because I want to read out of the King James and John chapter 1 and verse 14. And it says this, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word in the King James, that word is capitalized. It's a capital W. And the reason is because it's not speaking about a word like spaghetti. It's not just a word. It's speaking about the Word, that power through which when God said trees, trees came out. When God said firmament, the world came out. When God said stars, universe, all that was created, it was verbalized, but that power through which all things came to be reality, the Word is Jesus Christ. That's why in another portion in the New Testament, the Bible says that through him, all came into existence that is in existence today, through Jesus Christ. So it says here, the Word became flesh, was made flesh, and dwelt among us. And then it says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. When you get into scraping below the surface a little bit, in my college years, I spent many a day studying the Trinity. Man, it just blows your mind. You can go with the egg illustration. There's one egg, the hard shell, the white stuff, and the yellow stuff, the yolk, right? And you can say it's three in one. It's an egg, but there's three parts to it. And that's a good illustration somewhat. It falls apart at another level. But here, the Word of God describes to us a reality of who Jesus is. He was in existence in eternity past, and yet there came a point when he took on the form of flesh, bones, of eyes, like we can see right here in front of us, a nose, a mouth. He had form. God does not have form. God is a spirit, and that's why the Bible says, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit, but Jesus gave us an avenue through which we could know God, and he came and he became flesh. He became flesh and he dwelt among us. and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. That is to say, the Jesus is not the Father, though he is God, but he was sent of God, and he has the glory of God. And through him, you and I can know the glory of the Father. And as Christians, I hope you don't take that lightly. That the all-powerful creator of the universe allows you to get a glimpse of his glory through his son, who now is your savior, who you one day called upon to become your Lord and Savior. And now you get to have a relationship directly with the Father through Jesus Christ. And then it says, full of grace and truth. It's kind of the core of my message this morning. Full of grace and truth. I read this during my preparation for this, and I love it. Truth hates sin. Grace loves sinners. Those full of grace and truth, those full of Jesus, do both. Let me read that one more time. Truth hates sin. Grace loves sinners. Those full of grace and truth, those full of Jesus, do both. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bare witness of him and cried. This is John the Baptist. This is one of the early people who were preparing the way for Jesus. And there's a lot to speak of him. He's not John the Beloved. This is John the Baptist. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your truth. Thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that here as we sit in this March 17th of 2024 in Palmview, Texas, and this dot, this place, this city on a map, Lord, we are in your presence. And I thank you, Father, that we have the privilege not only of being gathered in a free country where we can gather publicly and park our cars in front of a sign that says this is a church. But I thank you, Father, that we can be gathered in your presence. And that, Father, we can claim the promise of your word where there are two or three gathered in your name, that there you are. And so we know, Father, that we are not alone, even in this very room, that your spirit dwells among us. And I pray, Father, that you would do a work through your word, through your truth, and that every heart and every mind that's listening at this moment might be encouraged, might be challenged, and that we would leave not being the same, but being determined to live differently. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Jesus, what am I here for? Why would I come into these doors? I came in because of Jesus. I came in because of Jesus, because Jesus came to dwell among us. You know what I'm glad for this morning? I'm glad, and I'm here because I'm glad that I have a Savior who didn't come to visit me. He doesn't come to visit. He doesn't come for a quick visitation. And you say, Brother John, but wait a second. He's not here. He's not here. I can't go to his house. Where is his address? You said that this place, 851 South Breyfogle, that's not his address. You're right. He doesn't live in a place like this, but he is dwelling among us, you see, because each and every one of us, in my case, when I was about 12 years old, on that August Friday day, I remember that August Friday evening calling upon the name of the Lord, and there in my dad's office, as I got reprimanded and got in trouble for something I was doing, I called upon the name of Jesus Christ, and that day, he came to dwell inside of me, and I'm thankful that he dwells in me, and dear friend, I hope you're thankful this morning, and I hope that you're here this morning because Jesus dwells in you. Hope that he made a difference in your life. As you think about the reality that he changed your life, he changed your eternal destiny. There is a day, like my dear friend Rene, that just a few weeks ago took his last breath on this earth and his first breath in heaven. There is a day where you and I, friend, will take our last breath on this earth, and we can be assured because of Jesus Christ that that very next breath will be in the presence of God the Father who sent his Son. That word word to dwell among us. Thankful this morning, and I'm here this morning because Jesus dwells in me. I'm thankful this morning that he dwells, that he lives, that he, it says there in verse number 14 in the New Living Translation, let me read it for you here. It says, so the word became human and made his home among us. See, Jesus didn't go to Pluto. He didn't go to Mars. And I know that Elon wants to get to Mars, and I hope he does. That'd be great. I love seeing those rockets that launched even this last week. Hey, go explore. Go find out what's out there about more of God's creation. You're going to find out that God created it all. That's what you're going to find. But Jesus didn't go to Mars. He came to this earth, and he dwells among where humans live. And he came to interact with human beings because human beings had the essence of their creator, God, inside of them because they were his creation. But because of sin, from that time that Adam and Eve turned their back on God and opened their heart to sin, and they listened to the old snake, and Satan started to create that great chasm, that great divide between God and man that sin brought into the world in that Genesis account. I'm telling you, dear friend, that were it not for Jesus, there would be no way to cross that bridge. But God sent his son Jesus to dwell among us, to make his home among us. Why am I here on this Sunday morning? I'm here because Jesus came to dwell. Jesus came to dwell among us. Dear friend, I hope that you are thankful that he dwells in you. Say, how am I thankful for that? Well, how are you living your life? When's the last time that you spoke to the Father through his son, Jesus Christ? We call that prayer. When you talk to God. I always like to instruct when I'm working with kids or teenagers, and I tell them, make sure you pray. When you pray, you finish in Jesus' name. We don't pray with just an amen. Because you see, God only listens to us because of Jesus Christ. And so when we pray, we finish with saying in Jesus' name, because it is in Jesus Christ that we have access to the Father. Oh, I'm thankful for Jesus. Thankful for the difference he's made in my life. I'm thankful that he came to dwell among us. But not only did he come to dwell, I'm thankful that he came to deliver. It says there, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I'm thankful this morning that I'm here this morning because of Jesus, because he came to dwell, to make his home in my heart, in this life, in this world. But I'm thankful that he came to deliver as well. He came to deliver me. He delivered me from my sin. Oh, dear friend, this morning, I hope you say amen to that. He came to deliver us from our sins. And dear friend, this morning, as you think about that, you may wrestle with the fact, like I wrestle. But what about my sin this past week? What about my sin yesterday? What about my sin this morning? What do we do with that? Well, you see, that is why it says this in the New Living. So the word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. Unfailing love and faithfulness. That grace and truth, that is that unfailing love. You see, you know, what I'm thankful for, and the reason I'm here this morning, is that though I fail God daily, God never fails me once. Though I fail my Jesus and my Savior daily, Jesus never fails me once. And I come and I sing, complete in thee. Oh, what a wonderful thought. My life was incomplete. Oh, I can tell you, dear friend, that I could fill it with houses, and I could fill it with accomplishments, and I could fill it with trophies, and I could fill it with experiences, and I can fill it with pleasure, and I can fill it with drugs, and I can fill it with alcohol, and I can fill it with friends, but my life would continue to remain empty until Jesus Christ comes and makes a difference in my life. He completes me. Oh, he came to dwell. He came to deliver us. He deliver us from our sins. And though you and I are in the process of sanctification, that's a big word that just means it's in the work of God to continue to refine. And this morning, I hope, dear friend, that you'll take God's word and you'll open it and you'll see truth come into your life and it'll change you a little bit more. And it's the hammer and the chisel that Isaiah describes as God is working to mold us and to shape us into what he wants us to become. But I'm thankful that he is coming, he has came to deliver us. His unfailing love, his truth is balanced by his grace. And truth hates sin, but grace loves the sinner. And I'm thankful for a Jesus that understands that though he expects perfectness, I'm going to come up short. And so he comes along, and though my righteousness falls short, his righteousness covers the multitude of my sins. And 1 John 1:9 says that when we sin, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And you know what? Tomorrow, when you've fallen in sin again, he expects you to hit your knees again and to come before the Father. Through who? Through Jesus Christ. And once again be made whole and once again be cleansed. Why? Because Jesus is full of grace and truth. His truth demands righteousness. His grace applies righteousness to our account. And dear friend, I hope that this morning, as you contemplate what this is all about, we're here this morning because he dwells among us. He came to this earth to be a savior to you and to me. He came and he dwells. He made his home among us. He dwells among us. But he came to deliver his message of truth. You know what, dear friend? Can I encourage you? Because this is something that is so important. Why does Pastor Jeremy, why do we as a church put small groups? Why do we encourage discipleship? Why do we encourage and try and put good things out there for you, resources for you to get and grow? Because as you grow in truth, you'll grow in Jesus Christ. That solid foundation of truth will become more and more solid in your life, and God's grace and work of grace will make a difference deeper in your soul and in your life. And the struggles, because what does the devil like to do? You see, I often like to describe it this way. You see, the shackles that we had on our hands, the shackles we had on our feet, when we were lost in our sin without Jesus Christ, we were incapable of taking off. But after Jesus Christ brought salvation to our life, we are not incapable of putting them back on. We can't. They just don't have the same grip on us because we have the ability anytime we choose to take them off. So the drug addict that is without Jesus Christ, he is incapable of removing the shackles of vice that are tied to his hands. That sin is grasped to him and there's nothing he can do. He can try and be a good person and a moral person and he can stop doing certain acts, but sin still has the grip on him. But the moment Jesus comes, he frees him. But along that journey, you may go back and you may put that grasp upon yourself again. But guess what? You have access to Jesus's unfailing love and faithfulness. And all you have to do is apply 1 John 1:9 and you confess your sin and you forsake your sin. And he is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Dear friend, I'm here this morning because Jesus came to dwell and Jesus came to deliver. Amen. He came to dwell, he came to deliver. Not only that, he's come to demand of us something. What does he demand of us? Well, it says, verse 15, that John bear witness of him. He came to demand that we testify. It says in the New Living Translation, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowd, "This is the one who I was talking about when I said, someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am. For he existed long before me." I tell you, dear friend, you and I have a great privilege this morning. We come to these doors on a Sunday, spring break Sunday. I know, it's tough. on a time change couple Sundays here already, right? It feels like it's still 7 o'clock in the morning, especially with the cloudy day. But we come, and we come because we have had an encounter with Jesus Christ, the one that came to dwell among us. He's changed our eternal destiny. He's changed our soul. He cleansed it and made it whole, made it right with him. We have access to the Father through Jesus Christ. And what we're doing here this morning, it's not a religious activity. It's not just some ordinance that we're following here on this pathway of ritualistic activities. No, we're here to have a live encounter with the one true God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And dear friend, I hope that as you walk out the doors this morning, that you are more in love with Jesus than you were when you got here. That you ponder and think about the reality that Jesus was willing to come and make his home among us. And not in a building with flaws and issues. That is this building. No, he came to another building that has flaws and issues, but it's differently. It's our hearts, it's our souls, but he came to make them whole and right with him. And dear friend, this morning, I hope we never get over the fact that he came to deliver his message that was full of truth and grace. Unfailing love, yes, but also righteousness. To live up to the standard of God. Oh, I can't. It's impossible. You're right, you can't. That's why daily you got to die to self. That's why daily you got to let Jesus Christ's spirit make a difference in your life. In Matthew, he says, take up your cross daily and follow me. Every day. Why? Because you can be a pastor, and if you let sin creep into your life, you can see what can happen. Every single human being short of Jesus can be torn down by sin. So therefore, we must come to him, allow his truth to make a dwelling home of us and continually to purge us and clean us. His unfailing love and faithfulness is there. Oh, but we must understand that he came to dwell among us. He came to deliver a message, and he came to demand of us that we would testify of what he's doing in us. You say, Brother John, is that bragging about who you are? Oh, it's because I want to be humble. You know, I want to be humble. I don't know. I haven't arrived yet. I'm in the fight. That's not what the Bible says we should do. The Bible says to say, look, whenever you're perfectly clean and every step, every decision, everything you've done is perfectly right, now turn to your neighbor and tell them how perfect you are. No. No. In the day-to-day grind where you're messing up, in the day-to-day grind where you fall up short, you turn to your neighbor and you say, man, I'm thankful that there's a Jesus that loved me and died for my sin. Right now, where I just got angry at you, I need to tell you I'm sorry because I'm still working on it and God's still working on me. But I'm thankful that he cleansed my heart and he made me right with the Father because he died for my sins. And we testify of who he is and who and what he's done. Oh, John said he testified to the crowd. He shouted to the crowd, this is the one I was talking about. Who are you talking about? Who impresses you? Is it Elon Musk and his billions? Is it the rockets? Is it that athlete that has those accomplishments? Is it that superstar, that super look, that supermodel? Who are you talking about? What impresses you? Oh, God wants us to be impressed by his Son, Jesus Christ, that he sent to die for us. And he wants us to never forget what a difference he's made. And may we realize that as we're here, as we're going through the journey of the Christian walk, he came to dwell among us. He's staying. He's made his home inside of you, inside of me. He came with a message of deliverance, a message of grace, a message of truth. Here's what God demands. Oh, do we throw out the Old Testament like some have declared? No, it shows us how perfect and righteous God is. How much, even the undergarments, this is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to wear. Here it is. This is the perfection God demands. And then he says, and by the way, you can't meet any of it. And here comes the New Testament. And he says, that's why you need a Savior, Jesus Christ. That's why you need a redeemer. That's why you need to be redeemed. And that's why you need to be delivered daily. That's why the cross exists, so that you can turn to the cross daily and say, man, I keep messing up. Yes, you do. You need to die to self. Oh, that old nature that does not like to die easily. I was helping one of my children this past week. We were having a conversation over something he had done. And I was describing to him, and I was trying to think of ways in which to describe to him the two natures. And when you're 10 or 11 or 12, it's still kind of fresh. And we had just finished feeding the dogs that morning. So I said, you know what? That's a good illustration. We'll go with the dogs. And we have two dogs. One's named Brody. One's named Patch. Well, they're once my neighbors, but Brother Jason, Miss Linda. But they come over. He comes over to the house and eats sometime. And I said, imagine, Josiah, if we were the only one and we were here and we were feeding the dogs. And I said, imagine if every day you would feed Patch and Brody would go to the side and he wouldn't get any food. And the next day would go by. I said, what would happen in a couple weeks? He said, oh, Brody would be real skinny. I said, you know, Brody and Patch, they fight sometimes. And he said, yeah. I said, what would happen if they fought after 2 weeks of Brody never eating and Patch eating every day? He said, oh, Patch would destroy him. I said, do you know some of the decisions that you're making, as I was doing the correction here? I said, it's showing that you have two dogs in you, two natures. And you're feeding one and starving another. Or you're starving the one and feeding the other. And what comes out of our life will reveal which of the natures we're feeding. Dear friend, can I encourage you this morning? May we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. May we feed our spirit daily. If your Christian walk depends on these 45 minutes a week, the dog's going to lose the battle. Your nature, your spiritual nature is not going to win the battle. You must be feeding. You must be growing. You must be walking with Jesus daily so that you can equip yourself to be able to have what God demands of us. A right relationship with him. A life that testifies of who Jesus is and what he's doing in your life. Because I can tell you this, that every time we open this device, every time we're at work, every time we're in those environments, there's a lot of that old flesh, that old dog that's eating daily. You can't walk through the mall. You can't drive down the expressway without finding things to feed your flesh. It's easy. It eats like crazy around you. You must feed your spirit. Why are we here this morning? Because he came to dwell among us. Why are we here? Because he delivered a message of grace and truth. Why are we here? Because we must do what he demands of us, to testify, to share what he's doing in us. We must make the right adjustments. Oh, Jesus, he makes all the difference. Jesus makes all the difference. Can I encourage you as you leave this morning, those of you that have access to Spotify or to iTunes Music or whatever it is, look up a song called My Jesus by Ann Wilson. I want to finish with this. I want to read some of the words of the lyrics to you from it. It says this. It says, are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? Because shame's done all its stealing. And you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. He rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's doing for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. What are we doing here this morning? We're here because of a man named Jesus Christ, the true Son of God, who 2,000 years ago stepped out of eternity and took on the form of flesh and accomplished what nobody else could accomplish. Accomplished the only hope you and I had of having any relationship with the creator of this universe. He came and he died in your place and in my place. And you and I have the great gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If you don't have that, I pray that this morning you will accept that. You will receive the gift of salvation. But if you do have that, I pray that you'll live it out and that you'll realize why you're here this morning. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your kindness and your grace in our lives. Father, your word teaches us that you are the visible image of the invisible God. You existed before anything was created, and you are supreme over all creation. For through you, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. You made the things we can see and the things we can't see. Thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world, everything was created through you. You existed before anything else. You hold all creation together. You are the head of the church, which is the body. You are the beginning supreme over all who rise from the dead. You are the first in everything. So, Father, this morning, may we leave from this service being challenged that we came here not because being here makes a difference. This GPS location isn't sanctified because we just happen to be here. It's sanctified because we're in your presence and because you live in us. And Father, as we leave from here in a few moments, we leave a building, we leave a property, but we don't leave your presence. And may we grow in that grace and that truth that you came to deliver. May we understand that you dwell in our hearts for the purpose of creating the beginning portions of an eternal relationship that we will have with you for all eternity. And what a wonderful, comforting thought that is. You didn't come to visit us and say goodbye. You came to make your home among us. Father, help us to be changed and challenged by your truth. Where we fall short, may we come to you in humbleness and brokenness. And say, Father, please help me today to be a better human being, changed by your grace and by your truth. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Can I challenge you this way, dear friend? Can I say maybe this morning you arrived at church and you weren't sure exactly what you were going to get out of it. But this morning, God has challenged your heart in your walk with him. Say, Pastor John, I just really need to take some strides, make some steps. And this morning, God's Spirit and God's Word has made an impact in my life. And I'm making some decisions in my heart at this moment. Would you just raise your hand so that I could know to pray for you that you're making some decisions in your life about that? God bless you. Anybody else? Say, hey, that's me. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody else? Slip your hand up and put it back down. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Anybody else? Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Father, I pray, Lord, that I, along with these hands that were raised, would walk out of here this week being reminded that we are saved not just from hell and the eternal damnation of our souls. We are saved into a right relationship with you through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would just deliver us, fill us with your grace and your truth. And Lord, may we go out and testify. May we go out and witness to that great Jesus who made a difference in our lives. Guide us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.